We are fortunate to have some of the subspecial surgeons from Concord Orthopedics come by, and here's one that I have on speed dial. It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Ron Resnick back with us. Good to see you, Ron.
Good to see you.
Pleasure having you here.
It's always a pleasure.
Now, your particular subspecialty, for those who, and you're a legend on the radio anyway, foot and ankle.
Yes, you're
the guy.
And ankle.
Busy time of the year. Now, we talked about skiing, but your foot and your ankle are encased in the boot, so that shouldn't be a big deal.
Right. I still see some ski injuries, yeah, but it's unusual. Usually the foot and the ankle is well protected in the ski boot.
So if there's a boot top fracture, that out of your realm and go to somebody else?
Usually the boot top fracture goes to one of our trauma specialists.
That's what I figured, yeah. Mm. So with you, we were talking off air, and you said a bunch of people come back from, the snowbirds come back from Florida next month. Do you see osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis in those people?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what? How do you treat? I mean, is it cortisone? Is it procedure? Is it topicals? I mean, what do you do to deal with RA and osteoarthritis?
Well, they're similar but different. So rheumatoid arthritis, the first thing is they need a good rheumatologist, because there's a lot of medications they can take that can help the rheumatoid arthritis. Okay. But it still affects the joints. So right. Arthritis is basically joints between the bones have cartilage, and arthritis happens when the cartilage wears away. So that's as the cartilage wears away, you get the thing that people talk about as bone on bone. Mm-hmm. That's where the cartilage has worn away. And it's similar. I'll give an example that when you have arthritis, it's sort of like an engine running without any oil in it. So the parts are all just kind of grinding together.
But sooner or later, the engine dies, Ron. So how far are we taking this analogy?
Well, the arthritis can get pretty bad that you have trouble moving that particular joint. The bad thing about the foot and the ankle is that you can't replace a foot. Whereas if your knee or your hip or your shoulder, you know, gets arthritis, just like where the engine breaks down,
sure,
you can replace it. You can replace a knee, you can replace a hip, you can replace a shoulder, but as of now, you can't replace a foot.
Can you replace a toe? I mean, those little metatarsal, you know, put in some titanium something or other?
Not really.
Really?
Not really. Now, they're in the ankle replacements are being done. They're not experimental anymore. They were experimental for a lot of my career. They're still not nearly as good as a knee or a hip, and they're done in big centers. So we, at this point, haven't done them here.
Are you watching these procedures to see what the rejection rate is and the success rate and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's in our meetings, it's the ankle replacements are the hottest topic.
Really?
Yes.
Made of what?
The same things they're made of in the hips and the knees.
Really?
The problem has to do with, you know, when you start talking about biomechanics and how the joint works, the knee is really more of a hinge joint. The hip is more of a ball and socket.
Right.
The ankle is a little bit of both. And plus the surface area is a lot smaller, so there's a lot more force across the joint. It bears more weight, so it's harder to get it to work right. And we've been trying the Foot and Ankle Society, and they're getting there, but they're still making improvements.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, with the ankle, I'm moving my foot up, down, and around. Knee, pretty much up, down,
up,
occasionally side to side. But
it's more of a hinge.
Yeah, and but you're right. The ankle's doing. There's a lot more going on there.
It doesn't. On the surface, you'd say, well, why can't they do it? But it's taken a lot of work, and they're still perfecting it.
Will it be in your career?
Probably not. You know, again, there are a lot of places that do a lot of them.
Yeah.
I probably, in my career, won't do them.
Really?
My partner may do them, But at this point, you know, I'm very honest with my patients, and there are patients who come in. The alternative to an ankle replacement is an ankle fusion. And an ankle fusion has pretty much been the gold standard.
Right.
It's not, you could say, it's not as sexy as having an ankle replacement.
Right.
When you have an ankle replacement, you still have motion in your ankle, although sometimes you don't have great motion. When you have your ankle fused, you don't have motion there, so a lot of people aren't really excited about having it done. However, people with ankle fusions do great. I have one patient who, she's a woman who had both ankles fused, and she hikes, she climbs mountains.
Really? What do you lose?
I have people who
what do you lose for mobility when you have
when you
your
fuse
ankle fused?
The ankle,
yeah.
You lose the up and down in the ankle, but there's still mobility in the foot. You still have some side to side motion, things like going up a steep hill or down a steep hill is hard. But you know, I had one gentleman who, I think he played, you know, here in New Hampshire, you know, almost 200 rounds of golf after his ankle fusion.
Really? What does it replace? I mean, what am I going to not have anymore? Is there a certain kind of pain I'm not going to have anymore when it's fused?
Right, you lose the pain.
You do.
So it's you lose the motion, but you lose the pain.
So what are you fusing? I mean,
the ankle, the talus to the tibia.
Really?
Yeah.
And is that a one and done deal?
It's a one and done deal. Well, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, assuming
unless something happens.
Right. Right.
But going back to the ankle replacement thing, it's. You know, you can read about it. You can, you know, go to courses to learn how to do them. But what I tell people is there are places that do hundreds of them, and there are places that do a few of them. And you want to go to the place that does hundreds of them.
Yeah, I get that. Let's assume you had a hundred of your clients, your people coming in. How many of that hundred would be candidates for an ankle replacement? Yeah.
So considering that they all have really bad arthritis and they've failed all the other treatments, treatments that we treat arthritis, we of the ankle, we treat it like you would arthritis any other part of the body, medicine, anti-inflammatory medicines, you know, starting off with your Motrin, Advil, Aleve type medicine,
right?
Then going to prescription anti-inflammatories, there's various braces you can use. There are different types of injections that can be done. Cortisone injection.
Yeah.
There are other types of injections that are done into arthritic joints. So someone's failed all that, and now we're considering doing a fusion with the possible option of an ankle replacement. The ideal ankle replacement person would be older. They'd be ideal weight, and they would be lower activity level. So if it's a younger person so for instance, if let's say there was a 50-year-old construction worker who does heavy duty stuff,
okay, got it.
Fusion is the way to go.
So 10%, 20%, 1%?
Probably saving less, maybe 5%.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
5% maybe.
Wow.
Would be considered for it. Now again, that's in my opinion.
Okay.
So
yeah, but you're the man. So
you know, if I send them down to Boston, their opinions are pretty similar to my opinion. However, let's say I send them down to a hub where they do hundreds of these things. Let's say down in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that 100. They may find 30% of them would be ankle replacements.
Wow. A little more liberal with their diagnosis,
yes.
Huh?
Yes. Well, not diagnosis, but, you know, in their experience and what they think is best.
All right. You also see people who have lupus, who have gout in their feet?
Usually the lupus would be more of a rheumatologic thing. Gout,
okay.
Again, the treatment for the treating doctors for gout, a lot of the people's regular doctors will treat gout. Our rheumatologists are the gout specialists.
What's that, uric acid?
That's uric acid. Okay. Now, I see a lot of people with gout because they don't know they have gout. So if someone calls and says, I woke up yesterday and my foot was all swollen and my toe was red and it really hurts, I'm going to see that person because we don't know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they come in and the joint will be swollen and we'll stick a needle into the joint, take some fluid out, and I'll have my rheumatologist look at the fluid and see if there's gout crystals in there, and then we have our gout diagnosis.
So you have a rheumatologist on site?
We do.
Okay. I don't think
so. It works really well to have he or she there.
Yeah.
Because in those situations, I can draw the fluid out. Now, if I didn't have them, I would have to draw the fluid out. I'd then have to send it over to the hospital. We'd have to wait a day or two.
Got it.
To get the answer. Whereas here, I can draw the fluid out. I can then walk the fluid over to my rheumatologist. He or she puts it under on a slide, looks it under the microscope, and, you know, 5 minutes later, we have our diagnosis.
How about people with diabetes or some other ailments that have nerve issues in their toes and their feet? You see that?
We see a lot of the diabetics have what we call peripheral neuropathy.
Thank you.
and basically,
I can't say that.
What peripheral neuropathy is, peripheral, it's, you know, the edges, so people get it in their hands and their feet. And neuropathy is just damage to the nerves.
Okay.
And what happens with the diabetes, it affects your circulation, and it affects your small circulation first. So it
and that's
affects
the nerve?
Right.
Okay.
So the blood supply to the small nerves are damaged first.
Is that reversible?
Most of the time, not. Most of the time,
okay.
Not.
Okay.
And the problem is, you know, even in this day and age, peripheral neuropathy pain is one of the worst things that there is out there, and we don't really have great stuff for it. So the neurologist, there's different medications that can be used for it. You see the advertisements on TV for Lyrica.
I usually turn those off because it says, and by the way, if you take this, this could result in, and I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever. So I turn it off.
There are a bunch of nerve medicines that the neurologists and people's regular doctors will put people on. There's different creams that can be tried. One of the things I'll usually do in that situation is we'll make up inserts, custom inserts for people that sometimes can be helpful. It balances out the weight bearing in the foot, so it distributes it more evenly. But neuropathy pain is a bad one, and unfortunately, there's not.
Is it constant or is it up and down?
It's up and down.
Oh, okay. Wow, and it's not reversible.
You
can't get that blood supply going again in the small.
Well, let me. So there are different causes.
And by the way, that wasn't a statement. That was a question.
The question.
Okay.
There's different causes of it.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, the biggest category of peripheral neuropathy is you never find out what caused it. And then there's diabetes. And the problem is that with diabetes, once you have it, it's probably not reversible. Then there are some other, you could have different, you know, vitamin and other deficiencies that can possibly be causing it. And then if you kind of treat that, sometimes it'll go away. So there are certain situations where it can be made better.
Have you had people come in not knowing what their foot issue is? You go through the whole thing and say, oh, I found it. You have diabetes. They go, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. Have you enlightened anybody?
Oh, a lot of time.
It would usually be an adult onset.
You know, gout, we diagnose people with gout all the time. That they've had a couple episodes and
didn't know it was gout.
We diagnose rheumatoid arthritis. We'll say we'll take an X-ray and it shows certain things of rheumatoid arthritis. We'll do some blood tests and they have that. Diabetes is a harder one because that's more, you know, different blood tests. You might say if someone comes in with the neuropathy sort of thing, I'll send them back to their regular doctor, and they might need to get tested for it. The other thing, arthritis is such a common thing, and people are just always surprised when you take an X-ray and say, well, your foot hurts because you have arthritis, and
no, I don't.
They're shocked.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I believe that. All right, final question. I'm going to butcher this. Ankylosing spondyitis. What is it?
Ankylosing spondylitis.
Spondylitis. Thank you.
Again, another thing in the rheumatologic world. It's again a form. It's an inflammatory arthritis. So when I try to explain different types of arthritis to people, there's osteoarthritis,
right,
which is sort of the wear and tear.
Got that one.
Maybe you had a little injury at some point, but it's just you've sort of worn the part out. And then there's the inflammatory arthritis, which is in the rheumatology world, mm-hmm. where you actually have something in your body that attacks the joints and the soft tissues. So ankylosing spondylitis is
ankylosis?
Ankylosing.
Ankylosa.
No.
No. Say it again.
Ankylosing spondylitis.
Ankylosing spondylitis.
There was that movie.
Ankylosing spondylitis. Just when I play doctor, I want to be able to get the term right.
I forget. It was one of those comedies where he was trying to say hamburger.
Oh, great. This is going to be my term now.
And he couldn't. He was British. He couldn't. Anyway.
Okay.
but ankylosing spondylitis is in the category where when they do blood work, it usually shows up negative. So it's one of these what we call seronegative, meaning it's more of a diagnostic thing. And again, you know, one of the hallmarks is people are very stiff. So when they say their whole, you know, all their joints feel stiff, you start thinking of things like that. And that's when you would run some blood tests and then try to get them to the rheumatologist.
Hey, at least I did some research, Ron.
You did.
Thank you. I like to dazzle you with my command of my butchering of these words, but I appreciate it. Busy today? I mean, snowstorm, people going to be canceling? Or?
Oh, it'll be really very, very slow.
Okay.
Well, it'll be slow. And
give you a chance to catch up on paperwork. And
we'll try and get, you know, see if people want to come in early before it gets worse. And
good point.
And then hopefully try to get people home early.
Now, where else are you besides Concord? Where else do you go?
I go to New London.
You do? Okay. Well, Dr. Ron Resnick, Concord Orthopedics. Ron, as always, please drive careful, but great seeing you.
It's great seeing you.
All right. 7:33, we will take a break. Back with more.
We start your day the right way. Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly. Weekdays, 6 to 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Pulse.
Here are the top stories.